Hello, everybody. Welcome again to Street Fight Radio, number one anarcho comedy radio show on any station across the nation. It's actually Saturday night, so it's different than when we normally record. This usually happens during the week, but now it's on the weekend. I'm a little bit more beat down. I don't feel like I have as much pep in my step as I had earlier in the week normally. We've been doing this show for 5 years now. You get two shows a week on the feeds. If that's iTunes, SoundCloud, Android, all of that. We're going to be here in your ear talking radical shit and radical shit. And also new metal, the meanings of new metals, the flat earth, the chemtrails, burning the American flag, and becoming sovereign citizens. So thank you for being here. My name is Brett Payne. My co-host is Brian Quinby. And if you did not know, we will be at the inauguration. Donald Trump's president, as we said before.
President Donald J. Trump.
President Donald J. Trump. One of the most superior offices, the highest office of America. He has achieved it. He's the president. He's presidential. Donald J. Trump is having an inauguration on January 20th. We will be there in D.C. on the ground. Expect live footage, expect Snapchats, pictures, tweets, all of that stuff. And then we're going to do a big live show about it at the end of the weekend, Sunday, January 22nd. I got notice from a few people that said it's a whole weekend of dissent. It's like a vacation you can take this Friday to Sunday. Just scream and yell about your politics, right?
Dissent. I like a dissent vacation. I got to go scream at the man.
Right.
Where the man is.
Right. I'm going to the man's house and I'm taking a fucking sign. I have my signs packed. I have boots that I can stand outside for a long time in. I got my base layers and I'm going to cause a whole bunch of trouble. And then I'm going to relax with a comedy show on Sunday night. We will be doing a street fight live with special guests Sam Sachs and Sam Knight. From the District Sentinel. You listen to them every single day on their podcast.
That's where you get your real news.
Exactly.
When you run in these circles.
Right. They break it down every single day. They do a half hour to an hour of a show that gives you all of the stuff that you need to know. The like boring machinations of government. They're on that, explaining it in a way that's interesting.
Entertaining. They make the boring entertaining.
Right.
Yeah, it's just the same way we make memes, highbrow art. They do that. They do that with information.
Yeah, I mean, it's something I am totally incapable of doing. So they do a good job, and that's why we want to have them on. So we get a little bit more professional status going at this street fight. We're also going to have in the building live himself, Mr. Felix Biederman from the Chapo Trap House podcast.
The sweetest man on the internet.
Strong really. Man, a swinging sledgehammer man.
Yeah. Swing a sledgehammer man.
Yeah, I mean, Brett's tough too. That's true. We're going to do
kettlebells on stage. We're going to do a kettlebell swing clinic where Felix and I will look at everybody's spine, make sure it's all straight.
Good. I like that. So, man.
You can get tickets for that by going to store.streetfightradio.com. If you're not going to be there in D.C. and you just want to get a shirt with Donald Trump puking all over himself, we are selling that as well. Pre-orders the entire month of January. January 31st will be the last day to get those, and then never again. So get in there now, store.streetfightradio.com.
Yeah.
For tickets and tees.
Get them tickets, get them tees, get them shows. You know, go to...
So much going on, man.
Yeah, I'm writing a zine.
Zine is right happening. Now.
Zine Arena, you know.
February is going to be the first edition of the Small Business Tyrant zine, the Street Fight Radio publication.
They are fucking tyrants. Man, I want to start this week off with something that I guess it's a tweet that I put out of a screenshot that fucking sent a chill down my spine, Brett. It's one of those things that you see it and you're like, oh no. And this is the headline. Chili's customer found murdered in parking lot.
Oh my goodness.
Now imagine you die and it makes the news and you're identified as a Chili's customer. The only identifier that they gave you were like, he ate them baby back ribs, man. He loved them damn things.
Yeah. He was here all the time. I expect to see him. He's one of the best customers we had at this Chili's.
We're going to put a picture of Chili's customer on the wall. It's a memorial to the Chili's customer.
Yeah, we need to round out his history. He's more than just a Chili's customer.
Oh my God, he has to be. I hope. That's a hope for me. What if you get killed? Just think about
looking through all of your credentials. He has no certifications, no hobbies. I mean, all he's really good for is being the best customer that Chili's has ever had.
I mean, we've talked about making sure you're doing something cool when you get killed, so sure. That if you're a ghost, that's what you'll do for the rest of history.
Chili's customer ghost would be a horrible afterlife.
Yeah.
You just go walk back and forth inside of that outdated, cruddy, old, bland place with the awful music playing.
You keep walking in there, you eat your food, and then you walk out and you moan because you're not going to get killed every time.
Yeah.
But like, so the Chili's, the haunted Chili's, in order to stay in business, has to set, they have one table with a rope around it with like just a like whatever the Summer Sizzler $9.99 for four courses special is.
They have it floating out there.
Yeah. They have to go out there. They put that on a table every day as a peace offering to the tragic murder of a Chili's customer.
Yeah, this is really unfortunate. Shout out RIP Chili's customer, and we hope that you'll be more than that in the afterlife.
Yeah. So now we have to think about where we get killed.
Sure.
Which is that's a lot to deal with, you know? Like, so if you're leaving like Red Robin, or if you're walking out of Sam's Club and somebody just pops a cap in you, it's like, oh shit, Sam's Club member.
Right.
Dies.
Sam Club member number ID 156706.
Yeah.
Came to his demise today.
Yeah, Big Lots. I walked out of Big Lots and got shot.
So how many people are dying in these facilities, I wonder? I mean, this seems... Yeah, how many people are... I've never witnessed one. I'm a very anecdotal evidence guy. How many dead bodies have you seen? Have you seen, like, a stray dead body before?
I had never seen a dead body
before. Oh, really?
Never. No, I don't want to. I'm avoiding them, really.
Yeah. I've seen a couple, but it was all under, like, tragic circumstances. It wasn't, like, in a Best Buy, someone sees a phone and then just goes
croaks.
Down.
Yeah.
Croaks. I don't know. Croaks, that's the way to put it.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, people die in those buildings, obviously.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Like, people die everywhere, okay? I don't want it to happen if I'm in a Walmart or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, man, I'm just, now I can only hang out in, like, romantic places or cool places.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. No,
I see, but I also see it as a vindictive thing, because what is one of the big drivers for me putting everything on the line and risking, like, my credit, my name, all of this time and effort putting it into this stuff, is that, like, if the government comes after me, they sue me into being penniless and shit, I'm just going to die in the middle of one of their targets or something.
That is true, man. Ruin a shopping day. You got to make sure it's right around, like, a big shopping day and just, you know, bite the fucking dust.
I'll die in your street. I'll die in their streets. Like, I'm not trying to make sure that I have a set up funeral. I'll die in their fucking streets. But it's going to be fighting against them always.
Yeah. Yeah. That is, I mean, that is a good point. Like, a way to keep people, like, oh, I don't want to go there. That dude died there.
Yeah.
Crapped his pants in the aisle or whatever happens when you die. It's like, it was just a whole gross scene.
Yeah.
Ruin everybody's shopping day. Yeah, you're right, man. I mean, yeah, maybe I will die at a Chili's.
I know. I like it now. I think it's a good strategy.
I thought when you asked, you know, how many people are dying in these facilities, it was like in reference to when we talked about Blue Apron, where motherfuckers were getting stabbed at work. It's like, man, you know, now that I think about it, people probably are stabbing each other at Walmart.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that place is ripe for that kind of...
Yeah,
activity.
It's full of crime.
Yeah.
It's just the crimiest place. I mean, I think that I can't say the same thing about Chili's and stuff, other than when I was at my scummiest in life, like when I was irredeemable trash in my life, I ate at like Applebee's and Chili's all the time.
So yeah, I would say the same thing. When I thought I would, when I was outwardly an asshole who thought I knew everything, and people were beneath me, I was eating that shit.
Yeah, and you were like,
"I fucking eat now. I can afford it." You know?
Yes, exactly. I can. That's the attitude. It's like, "Oh, I eat out every night, man. I gotta go meet my boys at happy hour."
Yeah,
you know, the drinks are all, the sugary drinks are all half off. We'll go sit there and eat like apps, half yeah. off apps.
We'll just eat. Night. Yeah, we'll eat quarter wings all night.
Yeah, I mean, I was at the lowest point of my life, and that was a luxury for me at that part. That's the thing. And so if maybe that is their like clientele, is like people like I was back then, you know, because they're too expensive for working class people to eat there, except like during like tax season.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're trying to get $50 out of you nowadays.
Yeah. I mean, because like my big number when I was like, living that middle class life, that when I worked at the cable company and stuff, was like, I don't want my dinner to cost more than $38, you know, $38, and that's $50 now money.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah, back then we used to call $50, $38.
Right, yeah. That's, so like, man, that's true. We're $12 more expensive now when I think about it.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, and I agree. The food, I think, was also, I just grew beyond it. Once I found out like fresh food and shit, I was like, that's amazing. Yeah.
You fucking found out fresh food.
Once I found out about fresh food, I was totally hooked. Like, well, I don't care if it makes me a hipster or whatever, but make my food as slow as possible, because I don't want to sit down at one of those places and have them heat up soup in a fucking plastic bag or take chicken breasts, you know, like at Chili's and Fridays and shit. It's fucked up. The food sucks. It's fast food.
It is.
You sit down.
It is. And you sit down, you pay like a lot more. And you like I always feel bad too for the wait staff at those places, because I like hear stories from people that work at like Applebee's, Longhorn, Texas Roadhouse is a place that I know somebody that works at. And like the stories about
cheese.
Yeah. The stories about the way that those, I mean, the waitresses that I know that work at, or waiters that I know that work at, like, you know, more local sort of, fine dining and things like that. The customers try not to be totally rude to them, I think. But
you know,
they're
California Pizza Kitchen. That's where people will tell you that you fucking suck as a person.
Yeah.
You're fucking awful.
Yeah.
Get somebody else, because you're fucking stupid. People will say shit like that, no problem, to like a Perkins waitress or like a Friday's waitress.
It's because they hire teens to do that job. It's not like they can't hire anybody that's good at service, because those people can actually make good money at a place where people tip.
Yeah, but also the 20-year-olds too. I mean, it's just young people. You can't do anything else. They're the only people that will let you serve without having prior service. You know, it's like everybody has to go through that to get into the serving world. It's like it's a good way to get in there, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Working at you, so you got to do time. Maybe then we all have to do time at Applebee's.
That's going to have to be what it is, maybe. I mean, it's a guaranteed, like, yeah, 2 years of being, like, the emotional punching bag for, like, factory workers, and then you can move on to the fine dining and the where you get to wear a T-shirt and jeans and they write the menu on chalk on the wall because it's brand new items every night and shit.
Yeah, I think we got something here, and we've danced around it many times and we've tried to conceptualize it, but just service, we need to flesh this out.
It needs to be like the draft. I think it needs to be more like a draft system.
When you turn under communism, when you turn 18, your conscription is into service and you all have to do it. It doesn't matter if we're at service wartime or not. You need to go and you need to
fry French fries.
Yeah, 2 years. We'll put you through all of it. You know, you'll do 6 months doing at a fast food place. You'll do 6 months at a retail
or a gas station.
I never worked at a gas station. That was one I always wanted. I felt like that was the easiest of all the customer service jobs.
You're going to deal with the most wild of people, though, like the late night people, that because you're open so much and a source of supplies for people that are in a lot of fucking different states of mind.
Every person goes to gas stations. You're like, nobody gets out of going to the gas station, you know? At least not here. And I guess in New York and those places, it's the convenience stores. But you're right. That always seemed like a if I had to do the service jobs, that's probably the one I go back to.
What?
Is working at like a gas station or something. It feels like you get to talk to you stand behind the counter. I mean, I'm sure people are mean, but there are probably also, like, there's always a weirdo that likes to hang out with the cashier and just stands on the other side of the thing and talks to him.
True.
You always have him.
I don't know. That's my battle. Like, when I was going to work at the donut shop, I really wanted to work up front, but I'm glad I didn't, because standing around and talking, you can have a really great conversation, and then you check the clock, and it was like, that was only 7 minutes of the day.
Yeah.
But if I'm breaking down 50 pounds of dough, it's just like, I'm looking at the dough. All right, keep going until this dough is gone, you know?
Yeah.
And then you just keep, you know, chipping away at it.
Yeah. I mean, and if you can avoid doing service, even at any, because they're like, people need to work in the kitchen. People need to be the stock boy at the grocery store. People need, like, all of those things need to be done. So there is room in the service industry for people who can't necessarily deal with people. You know,
sure.
And if you can get those jobs, I mean, that's a level up in that industry, right? And in the grocery store, I didn't feel like I leveled up. I'm a bagger. I started out as a bagger, a courtesy clerk, if you will, and then I moved up to cashier, and I was like, yes, they gave me an extra 50 cents an hour. There is a promotion here. Okay, I see the promotion, but I'm still, I don't have to do carts anymore. I think that was,
yeah,
that was okay. So I moved up one level, no more carts. Okay.
Which is nice.
And then stock means no more customers. And
right.
That is the highest level before management. And it's that way at every service job. In a call center, it's like, how do I get to a point where I'm not on the phone anymore?
Yeah, that's when you've made it. Because then you're sitting around usually babysitting dummies.
Yeah. The reward is always less customer time. And at the cable company, you want to work maintenance, because then you deal with all the line up till the customer's house. You never have to talk. You don't have to go to customers' houses and work on their stuff. You just go work on the larger sense. Again, another time. The top job was the one that gets you away from the customers. Like,
yeah.
We reward people in a service industry by getting them away from the public.
Sure.
Giving them an office so that they have somewhere to go and hide.
Being directly in touch with the public is hazard pay.
Yes.
I mean, and that is why people are trying to get out of it.
It's combat. It's fucking combat is what it is. It's and that's why everybody should have to do it. It just, that's the one job that everybody should. If we're going to have all this, if we're going to have a million McDonald's and we're going to have all these Chipotles and stuff like that, hey,
you got to see how they do it.
Yeah.
You got to know how it's done.
You got to see how the fucking,
and you
got to
chip in. You got to chip in too. I think that's for me, that's the voluntary aspect, is I think you should be chipping in on it if you want it, you know?
Yeah, they're feeding people. They feed a lot of people. And one of the jobs that needs to be done in a civilization is feeding people.
Getting a food item together in a bag and out a window in less than 5 minutes.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, people have to eat, and that's the way we do it.
Yeah. This is our system, and people fucking love it. People are not even ready to get in the streets to change it.
No, they're not going to clamor to like get rid of drive-thrus. That would be a nightmare. Like, I remember there's a time in my life where if a place didn't have a drive-thru, I just didn't want anything to do with it. It was like, bring the damn food to my car. I don't want to rub up against these other people.
You know, I've started, since I've moved back to Ohio, I decided to stop doing the robot checkout, the U-Scan.
How's that working for you?
I like it, because the people over here are good. The young kids, I don't know who they get, but these kids are just fucking chatty as hell. They'll just talk about their whole damn day. Just like, oh, it sucked, da-da-da-da-da. I didn't really want to do this weekend. They don't give a shit. They'll just talk to you like they're your bud.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
It's not like cheery, like forced conversation. It's just like, what are you up to? And they'll be like, tell you.
Yeah.
I really want to get the fuck out of here. Because I'm going to do this after work. You know,
they always have homework. Always yeah, ton of homework. Everybody yeah. I talk to has just like, I got to leave. I got four papers to write. Right. You know, because we live right by the school. So there are a lot of people working at these grocery stores and stuff that are in college.
Sure.
Yeah. Man, what a nightmare dealing with the public is. That is really, I mean, I still do it. I like it. But I feel even weird that I enjoy it. You know, I feel like that's a weird personality quirk to me that, like, I like serving people because I think that's the only possible way to get to know the maximum amount of people you can.
Yeah, true.
Like, I don't know where else there's a conveyor belt of people of all different, of every different type of person you right. get to be in touch with. I mean, like, I've learned so much about myself, and I've had, like, so many weird, like, how, like, isn't it weird when you have to serve somebody where you, like, don't like their energy at all? Like, you just, you know, you just, you get, we're in the same area. This is oil and water. I yeah. really hate you. And everything yeah. you say, I hate.
Right.
Like, always, that is something. I had something like that happen like a couple weeks ago. I had these three people in my car with me, and I hated them. And, like, I thought they were so rude, and it was an entirely confrontational ride. The whole thing was, like, a 10-minute confrontation, and I was miserable. Like, I was just like, oh, these people are and, like, I don't know that they were any worse than any other people. They're just, their energy was bad.
Sure. I mean, that is how it's going to be when it comes to... I mean, yeah, you just swing that net and scoop up the general public. What you get is like, it's, I mean, everybody knows it's atrocious, but I don't understand why that we don't pay people for putting up with that though, you know, because
that's why
I have it too, because I am someone that was like, oh, sure. You need to sell this cheesecake. I'll be really nice to this person and try to get him to buy a cheesecake. So I get a new star for my badge or whatever. Like, I don't mind any of that stuff, but it is... It just doesn't pay. It just doesn't. It's not worthwhile. And I don't understand why it's that. I don't understand.
Because not everybody has to do it. And especially the decision makers. I mean,
yeah.
You know, Barack Obama never worked at a McDonald's. I'm sorry, man. Just, you can't even, like, you can't start at a fast food restaurant and end up the president.
That's definitely not how it is.
Like, everybody I know that's ever had, like, I know the only people in my life that I know that, like, actually have money, you know, now, they never worked at a fast food restaurant. It's just not a job that they do.
They skip over that.
Yeah. So, and there's a lot of people. I mean, so many people skip over fast food. If your parents didn't make you get a job when you were 16,
right.
You probably got to skip fast food.
Yeah, I one time was really mean on whiskey, and someone was saying how they wish they would have had a job when they were 16. I was like, I started working in fast food when I was 15, and it was fucking awful. I couldn't do any extracurricular shit, and I was just so mad at them. I was like, you had the best fucking existence. You didn't have to worry about work until you left high school.
So all of their encounters. A person who's never worked in fast food, every single encounter that they have with somebody in fast food, I mean, I'm not saying this about everybody, but, like, they're in power. It's like how I can't understand what it's like to be a black man in America. You know what I mean? Like, they can't understand what it's like to be the person that's serving them.
Yeah.
Where, like, every single person that comes up to you the whole time thinks you're stupid, inept, and just wants to get their encounter with you over with as quickly as possible.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's like a part of that's our American tradition. Like, that's just the assumption. It's like, it's for the worst of the worst. Like, only people that have to do it only would take that job, you know?
And I just want everybody to have to do that. That is the job. When I go back to that, because it's the most shocking part. I guess not shocking in that, like, the people who make this argument are terrible. But, like, in the fight for 15, the people that talk about how people that work at fast food restaurants don't deserve $15 an hour are baffling to me, because it is totally a job that they wouldn't do. And to me, that shows they probably couldn't do it.
Yeah.
They would never be able to do that. They could never.
And it has value. That's why it's added value.
Yes, it is. Yes, it absolutely is. Like I mean, I did 3 months at McDonald's and a year and a half at Chuck E. Cheese, and I'm better for it. So I think every person at 21, the perfect time to put somebody in the service industry, just like, here you go.
You can drink now. Now you have to serve people that drink.
you make $15 an hour because, you know, in this world that we've created, the minimum wage is all probably $20 an hour, really. So you get to make a decent living. It's like going into the military. I get to make a decent living, but I got to spend, like we all, it's your time. Your 2 years. It's time for your 2 years in the service industry.
Yeah.
I mean, you
time
do
to
retail?
Serve your fellow man and woman.
Yeah. Yeah, it's called serving.
It's called actually like getting them a damn hamburger.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I mean, you can work in the supermarket.
Because everybody. Richie's too. No one can get out of it. It's not like the draft where like George W. Bush can get drunk and not show up.
Yes.
Or pretend to have flat feet.
Yeah. No, we'll find you a job. Hey, you got flat feet, you can't walk all day, you can rip tickets at the movie theater.
Right.
That's something you can do.
I think it's important. I think that's going to have to be a big part of this
platform.
Make pizza rolls too, like that stuff. Make Eggo waffles.
Call the DSA. Well, that is the call the DSA and get this in their platform.
Okay, guys. I'll see what I can do.
Next time you're at the meeting, be like, conscription into service industry jobs. That's
right.
The first
That's
thing
the
we're
platform. That's I the mean, first plank of the platform.
It goes with the Street Fight Radio philosophy of like the best part about revolution is making like the bourgeoisie's life worse.
Yes. Yes. Having those fucking kids that got a brand new Honda Civic on their 16th birthday, making them go and get onion ring grease.
Yeah.
All over their face.
Let them go get yelled at 7 times a day.
Get called a fucking idiot. First of all, be thrown into like a system that's designed to fail and then get called a fucking idiot for being a part of it.
You know what? Working in the drive-thru. You should have to work in a drive-thru and hear what the people are saying to you when they don't think you're listening to the speaker.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Like one day of that reveals a lot to you.
This fucking bitch. It's always that. Always that.
The one time I saw it happen, it was these two people that I was driving for Lyft, right?
Yeah.
And they're in the back seat, and I'm letting them order. And there's one woman that's sitting right next to the speaker in that seat of the car. And then there's a kid. And then there's another woman that's sitting on the seat furthest away from the speaker. Well, she's the one that's ordering. So
she's yelling across
the whole car. She's yelling across the car. And like they're having so much trouble hearing her. And every part of the order was a special order.
Oh, God.
It was like a chicken salad, but like without things
no
in the
nuts.
Salad.
No, no nuts. Add sunflower seeds.
Yeah, and like you like the thing about the salads at those restaurants is they're already made.
Yeah,
man, ain't nobody making the damn salad right there when you order it.
No, there's a Burger King facility that delivers them all in the morning on a refrigerated truck.
Yes, I worked at McDonald's. I never made a salad, not one time. We served a lot of salads, and then so also their icy machine's broken, which is that. Pisses everybody off, but it's always broken.
We need
you should
to
expect that.
Frozen, we need to start a new frozen treats specialist because we need to get that away from the fast food. It's not working.
No, their machines break.
They can't do the soft serve. If they're not going to do, they're not going to clean it and they're not going to do it right. Fucking don't let them have it anymore. I think it's an end to it. Put an end to it.
Milkshakes, like their milkshake machine never works. Yep. Oh, we only got strawberry. It's like, that's the shittiest one.
Cardboard box pies or whatever. Those frozen peanut butter Oreo pies.
Yeah, they can do that. They're fine with that. So we get around to, like, so we're sitting there for a minute and the woman keeps having to ask questions. And then every time she's like, okay, hold on, which never do that if you're running the speaker at the back, because that's when it happens. She's like, hold on 1 second, ma'am. And then, like, just I'm sitting in the car and both of these women in my car are like, this is a delayed ass bitch, man. She's a delayed bitch. And I'm like, I was sitting up front. And I was like, I want to say, hey, she can hear you.
Right.
But they were just, they were tearing her to pieces.
I used to work drive through at Fazoli's too.
Yes.
I did call the F word all the time. But they would also, they think it'd just be saying it over their shoulder. And it's like, these speakers are a lot better than you think, sir. I would just say stuff like that.
I would never say anything.
I can hear you, sir. Just embarrass them.
Oh, really? Yeah, that's funny.
It depends what it was. But yeah, I mean, if it was, sometimes I would laugh, but wasn't really trying to start shit. But sometimes I would just say it if I was bored, you know?
Yeah, you're right, man. It's fine. You're on the right on that. You hold all the cards once that happens. They can't get mad at you once they've called you, like, retarded or something.
Right, exactly. That was a popular one, too.
That is very popular. That's the one I got called all the time. Yeah, man, that what a life that is. Like this world, like Matt Iglesias having to work at McDonald's or Chipotle. Let him work at Chipotle. He loves the burritos. We'll give him free burritos. Yes. You get free food.
Hey, you'll get half price, dude.
Sometimes you get that's the chintziest thing.
Oh,
that
I know.
Bothers me.
You
so
say
much.
You're going to save big money on burritos. Like, no, if I make them, don't I get them for free? No, yeah. You get a discount.
No,
you got to pay for the supplies.
We got free food at McDonald's. That was all. That was the benefit right there. It was like, man, and you can have as much as you want. That was their thing because the food's not worth anything.
I remember it was. We used to be able to make up whole feasts and just give them away for free, and then just. Our reins got restricted. It's just been the same thing. Is that like there used to be freewheeling times, and then they just keep drawing it in. And now we're at this point.
Yeah, half off is such a
it's fucked up.
You're the worst employer if you do that. Like, sorry, you got to pay for the kid. Just feed me. It's a restaurant.
I agree.
Food here.
You know what used to make me more pissed than anything? And I started packing my lunch because I was so pissed. I would go on strike when they paying for the food in the cafeteria at the warehouse.
Oh, don't even. Don't I?
The motherfuckers will put the worst fucking food out there. I'm like, I know whether you got that chicken breast. They have them like 24 for $10. At the cheapest part of the grocery store, and you're charging me $3 for it.
Yeah, that's
Aramark.
And there's nothing around it. That's why they generally do it, too. It's because they plop those things where there's nothing. So they just,
I mean, you've only got 30 minutes to go on break, and Subway is, 11 minutes each way. I mean, if you eat in your car, you can do it. Otherwise, you're going to have to eat this fucking pizza every day.
Yeah, don't eat in your car. You don't have to do that.
I know.
That's another. Well, you do, actually. I'm not shaming you for eating in your car because you generally do. I mean, people, we always talk about the people who work like two part-time.
I know. That's
like,
what
they
got
to eat in their car.
Oh, like, I agree. I mean, there was a radicalization point. I remember being in the car and looking over and seeing this guy woof down a yogurt. Just like, just tip it back and take the spoon and just like shovel it in real quick, like an egg beater, man. Just he just guzzles this fucking yogurt and like slams it while he's at the red light. It's like stop, red light, gargle the yogurt, and then fucking take off when it turns green. And I was like, God damn, that's so sad. I had like had a tear in my eye. I was like, this is so fucked up. I wonder if I was on something because I just remember being like, man, people should have time that they can. Eat a fucking yogurt.
Somebody get this guy a go-gurt.
Yeah, exactly.
That wouldn't have looked as sad. Yeah,
if it was a go-gurt, I would have been like, right on, man. Gotta get those LKCI immunities.
Yeah, wow, that's fucking wild. Yeah, I see people a lot of times just chomping on a cheeseburger while they drive, and I'm like, let's... Don't make people do. Why are we making people do this?
I agree.
We should. You should get a lifetime break. You know what I mean? Like just in the middle of the day, everybody gets 15 minutes, no matter what. Like we all get to have.
That's that European
20
shit.
Minutes. Yeah,
yeah. That's that European like the like naps and shit in Italy or like they do, like, in Germany, they do some middle-of-the-day thing where everybody just fucks off for an hour. It's like, all right, we did half the work. Let's go take a breather and recollect ourselves.
Yeah, any place where they go home and make dinner during a break from work is, like, that's a really romantic thing to me. I think I was told that in Spain, a lot of times, they're just like, hey, we're going to go home at, like, noon. We'll come back to work at, like, 5, and we'll just work until, like, midnight and then go out and party. You know what I mean? Like, the way it was set up, and I was like, fuck, dude. That, like, I
would nobody have wants such to do a, cool shit no
I
more.
I would have such a healthy relationship with work if I could take, like, 3 or 4 hours off in the afternoon and just come back at night. Because that's the other thing. I want to work at night. I like working at night. I'm a night person. I want to live that nightlife, work that nightlife. There's romance to it to me. I just, like, even people that work at restaurants at night, I'd, like, admire that. I admire that, like, oh, it's the weekend? Well, I'm just going to fucking go to work. And then during the week when all you fucking squares are at work, I'm going to have fun.
Yeah, I'm going to be screaming drunk.
Yeah.
On Tuesday night.
Yeah, it's cool, though.
I got Tuesday off, so.
When I drive on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, the people are 100 times cooler than the people on Thursdays and Fridays.
Yeah, I mean, that's real party time hours.
Yeah, and they're like, just, I'm out at 2. You know what I mean? Yes, it's Tuesday, and I'm out at 2 a.m., but I handle myself.
I've become comfortable with a certain kind of a lifestyle.
Oh, man. Well, let's shift gears a little bit into parenting.
Okay. Interesting.
I was on one of your trigger websites, one of the websites that fucking make you nuts, okay? Intellectual Takeout.
Oh, really? I haven't had Intellectual Takeout in quite some time, actually.
It frustrates you. That's my favorite thing. My favorite thing about Intellectual Takeout, the website, is that it makes Brett more mad than anything else. Like, that is the thing. When you told me you need to like this page, it infuriates me every day.
I have not paid attention, I have to be honest. I have not seen it in a while. It's fallen to the back. I guess it's that Facebook doesn't consider it my new thing anymore.
Well, what if I told you I'm bringing you an article?
Like, I'm glad to hear.
Do you need some red meat, Brett?
Yeah, I am. I'm excited. I mean, the thing that's frustrating about Intellectual Takeout to me is they are trying to push something but pretending that they're not. And they do that whole, I'm being wholesome, folksy, but I'm also like a fascist. I'm also kind of saying that everybody needs to fall in line something.
And it's for people who... it's for people who think that they're an intellectual type conservative person, like a Bill Kristol. Like, I'm in Bill Kristol's league, or like one of those guys. I don't think Bill Kristol's an intellectual, but you know, people who say things and then rub their chin after they say, like, people who think they're more thoughtful than the average conservative.
Right. But they at the end of the day just are spouting standard old, regular old, generic Republican beliefs.
Yeah,
simply the gender binary is a biological cohesion that has kept society's glue for quite some time. I'm confused with this new gender fluidity. I'm cautious to adopt it wholesale.
Exactly. Oh, shit.
You got a drooping mic.
Exactly, man. You hit the nail on the head. It's regressive. It's all the most regressive ideas dressed up in a smarty pants.
Right, with a bow tie and some wool. Oh, some worsted wool.
Yeah. So here is your headline. This is the best kind of headline for Brett. Physician. So this is coming from a doctor. Physician. American children immersed in a culture of disrespect.
Oh. It's thick in the air.
Yeah. And it's a doctor that said this. This is not just your uncle's blog post. This actually came from a physician.
A guy wearing a white coat, right? With a stethoscope?
Yeah, of course he's got the stethoscope.
Oh, this child is suffering from a healthy, toxic level of disrespect. My goodness. Can you feel the heat coming off from him? His little black heart. Oh, my goodness. These children, they just turned so young.
Yeah.
That is that. Let me write you a prescription for respect.
Right.
Okay.
Here you go. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Find out what it means to me, buckaroo.
Oh, my God.
So this... what do you have to do? Spank them? I recommend you give them 3 spankings a day. That will show them a little bit of respect.
Whoop them. And yeah. They'll learn. Give them a whooping.
Whoop their ass. You know what? The next time he says, "Now, I want to watch SpongeBob," you whoop his ass. Quick.
Okay. Man, this article, this is the most infuriating kind of writing. I like that, like, Chapo does their reading club, and then we also do our reading club, but it's like an intellectual takeout or LJ review.
It's still some of the most fascinating sites.
It's my favorite place to get news. That's the real news, if you ask me, because that's what people are out there believing.
It is. It's closest. You're right. It is closest because it is more. It attempts to be more civil. And, like, it comes off of as a facade to me, but it is not as ugly as the other one, as some of the other stripes of conservatives. Yeah.
Yeah. It's something that, you, like, you're a person you love could share that.
Yes. Sure. You're like, I guess. I don't know.
It's not like Barack Obama's dead fly.
Exactly.
It's like that. The person that shares that, I don't know if I could love that person.
Right. They're not,
like,
stable.
Feel good for him in my heart. But somebody who shares intellectual takeout, I'm like, man, give me 10 minutes to just talk with them, and I think I could get them to admit they're wrong.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. You want a scientific reason for why you're grossed out by gay people.
Why you're racist. Like, yeah. You know, yes, I'm racist, but that's because my brain.
It's natural. It's biological.
Yeah.
It's a defense mechanism. People have always lived in tribes.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Skin color is quite obviously the one to choose.
Yes.
Have that bit of intellectual takeout.
This first paragraph's going to already infuriate me.
Hit me with it.
Let's face it. Almost every child has likely had some type of meltdown in public, causing great embarrassment to both the child's parent and to the other witnesses in the vicinity. But while such disrespectful behavior is embarrassing at age 2, it's downright horrifying as the child gets older. First of all, I don't care if you're offended that my kid went crazy in the store. I'm sorry, I don't care about the witnesses with, like, PTSD from seeing a kid cry loudly and act like a maniac in a store. It happens.
I'm trying to figure out what age.
I feel embarrassed as a parent about it.
I'm trying to figure out what age I would snatch Charlotte up, though.
What age are you going to even be mad about
it? Right. That's
what
I mean.
You know what I mean? Like, you can't really be... I don't know how old...
If your daughter threw a fit in the middle of the store right now, like, laid on the ground and kicked and yelled...
She's 12, though. That it's way different. I would just grab her by the leg and drag her out the door now. Like,
right.
Look at this. I mean, can you blame me?
Right.
You know?
Yes.
She's the size of a person.
Right.
I think there's adults that are the same size as my daughter.
So what age is this happening then?
I don't know. We'll see what it says. I'm getting all the same information as you from reading intellectualtakeout.com. Dr. Leonard Sachs recently, like, who is he? You know, let's get it. Like, I'll bet you they don't even know who he is. He recently experienced one of those horrifying it's a doctor that saw a kid have a meltdown.
Right. It's a doctor that was at the store and was like, the disrespect of this child.
Oh, my God.
There must be a clinical reason.
He wrote about it in the Wall Street Journal. This physician wrote. So this is an article about a physician who was out in public.
Boo.
They saw a child have a meltdown in a store. And they were this has effect. This is the breakdown of society.
You know what? Actually, I'm going to say, I think that anybody should be able to have a meltdown in public. There's no reason to make people keep it together. Like, that just adds more pressure to the situation.
I mean, if shit sucks, man,
yeah,
some people are going to melt down.
Just fall apart.
Let society deal with you. You know what I mean? Like, I'll deal with people. Call
That's
me.
That's that John Quinones shit, though, where they have, like, someone crying in a park and they just count, like, hundreds of people walking by, like, I'm not getting involved in that shit.
Well, if they could call me.
Yeah, they need a meltdown police of some sort, a meltdown number to call.
Call me. I'll show up, man.
Hey, this guy's throwing a tantrum here in a Target. He wanted a TV and his card got declined. and he's just lost it.
Yeah.
And you got to talk to him.
I'll come in and be like, all of our cards get declined, buddy. Hey, buddy. I mean, you wouldn't even realize.
Wait it out.
You don't realize how many people are nervous when they swipe their card. It's not just you. It's right. Everybody.
Yeah.
That when that card swipes, you're like, oh, there's money in there. I know. I know there's money in there.
I have so much money. This is like less than 1% of the amount of money in there. So it's, I've actually had to do that because here's the thing. I moved to DC, and when I did that, I changed my address for my card, and it was about 3 weeks of calling every single time I wanted to swipe. They would decline it. And I'm like, I moved now. You know, that's why I'm here. That's why I updated my address. And now they keep declining me and they want me to change it. But I don't want to change it because I don't want to go through that again.
Oh, no, man.
But I have been, I've done it now 3 times, had to call and walk around the front of Giant Eagle with like a terse face. You know what I mean? Like,
I hate it. I hate that.
Don't worry. It's going through.
Oh. God, that's
it's embarrassing.
Yeah. So here's the story we get, okay? We're going to get Dr. Leonard Sachs's story. This isn't even a fucking study. This is just a guy.
Yeah.
That just fuck him.
He's just a dipshit doctor. Yeah, I mean, just a doctor that has a bad opinion. Oh, yeah. This doctor hasn't a bad opinion, though. Yeah, he would have been smoking a pipe. I mean, in intellectual takeout land, the doctor is smoking a pipe to show how smart he is.
Kyle was absorbed in a video game on his cell phone. So I asked his mom, how long has Kyle had a stomach ache? Mom said, I'm thinking it's been about 2 days. Then Kyle replied, shut up, Mom. You don't know what you're talking about. And he gave a snorty laugh without looking up from his video game. Kyle is 10 years old. Ah, that's fine. 10 years old, my kid was mad disrespectful when she was, my kid's still disrespectful at 12.
Yeah, I mean, and some kids are, that's just how some kids come out. There's been kids like that since forever.
Yeah, listen to this.
This isn't new at all.
Listen to this. This is gonna blow you away, okay? Unfortunately, such behavior is no longer an anomaly. Dr. Sachs goes on to explain.
Oh, really? I see all kinds of bad kids in my practice.
Dude, I've been a physician for 29 years. This sort of language and behavior from a 10-year-old was very rare in the 1980s and 1990s. No, it wasn't. I knew so many kids that said, shut up, Mom, you're fucking stupid.
Yes. I'm one of my best buds would scream at his mom shit like that.
Yeah.
When we moved across the street from him, I spent all the time, and he was like, Mom, give me some fucking money. Just give me some money. Give me some money. He would just say, give me some money until she did it.
Yeah.
And he was well seasoned. He'd been doing it since 10, probably.
Yeah. There's always kids that are disrespectful. That's part of being a kid. You know, I was the most disrespectful teen, and I was doing it in the 90s. I was teening in the 90s, baby.
I mean, I think that this is just a matter of perspective because maybe the kids sound different. The lingo is different because all the kids now seem to be way more chill. They aren't even interested in doing fucking drugs in the same way. Like Red Bull is like partying, you know, like there's just nothing like you could really get in trouble before.
They don't have the same. I always wonder if my daughter still looks at adults with the same mystique that I did as a kid.
I can't imagine. We're like,
because she sees just regular adults that are regular ass people, not putting like, on a show.
Yeah, we act like the people that are on her YouTube videos, even, you know?
Yes.
Like, we know the same words and we know a lot of the same songs and, like, we're tapped into the same culture and shit in some ways. You know?
You got to try to be, at least. Right. But you don't understand anything we're doing.
But yeah, but grown-ups for us were these crotchety people that, like, they're like their Graham Parsons and shit and disco music and
what's a goddamn video game?
Right, right.
You know, what the video game sounds stupid. Who would want to pretend to be a spaceship?
Computer is just another fad like slap bracelet. And yeah, and now it is a different world. I think that kids are way more nicer and caring and empathetic. I know that I've moved my life in that direction. But, I mean, just the media that's out isn't even as horrible as what we used to watch, you know, that was so divisive and awful.
Yeah. This is wild. This, when you hear the rest of what this doctor said about kids, it sounds exactly like we could have written this guy.
Sure. He's a straw man.
Yeah, he's perfect too. He's like, it would have been unusual a decade ago. It's common today. America's children are immersed in a culture of disrespect for parents, teachers, and one another. They learn it from television, even on the Disney Channel, where parents are portrayed as clueless, out of touch, or absent. They learn it from celebrities or the internet. They learn it from social media. They teach it to one another. They wear t-shirt emblazoned with slogans like, "I'm not shy, I just don't like you."
Goddamn kids and their Nickelodeon and their Hannah Montana, who thinks just because she's a good singer that she's smarter than the parents, that kids can be smarter than parents. Not in my world.
Yeah, I know a lot of kids that are smarter than their parents.
Sure.
I mean, I have kids in my family, like nieces and nephews and cousins and stuff, that they're much smarter than their parents.
Agreed.
And it's just even then, it's like when you say smarter, when they say they're not smarter, they're basically saying like that their perspective doesn't matter at all.
Sure, sure. And we shouldn't be listening.
And to me, the most important thing about my kid is how she constructs myself and the world and other people around her to herself. Like,
I think for me, it's a matter of equality. I think that the paradigm has changed where parents are not like, I don't want to be an asshole. I'm not trying to be one of those weird parents that pretends to be a teenager and tries to be their friend or anything like that. But I'm going to be nice to them and kind of try to harvest like a really amazing relationship. That's like, that's the goal. It's not just like, I got to beat them into shape. Which is what this doctor thinks.
Children should
be seen, not heard.
He gives suggestions.
Oh God. got these damn disrespectful t-shirts to tell them they're great for doing nothing at all. They can say they're the king of the basketball game, not because they won a tournament, but because they had the money to buy it from an H&M.
I had in the 80s, in the fifth grade, I had just disrespectful pins all over my denim jacket.
Dude, I had all those and one shirts that would just say like, "I'm the mayor of downtown," or "hold my trophy while I kiss your girlfriend." That shit was going on that shit was definitely going down in the 90s.
There, yeah, no fear.
Bart, like, Simpson was in the 1980s.
Yeah, nobody sold more shirts than No Fear to my generation. Like, I ain't no run of no litter. And like with a big dog on it.
Yeah. 1970s kids were like drinking beer and shit.
Smoking weed in vans with beds in them.
Driving around fucking drunk as hell. Yeah, this is all about whether or not you buy into his made up world. I mean, the whole thing revolves around this idea that you just have to, because you want to believe it. You know, there's no proof, there's no evidence. He's just saying he thinks it's that way.
Yeah, well, yeah, but while disrespectful children have become the norm. Which is weird.
Really?
I don't feel that way. I haven't been
disrespected by very many children recently.
Exactly. I haven't been disrespected by a child I can't even think of the last time, you know? But not the norm. It is definitely not the norm. This is a guy that's just mad at his kids.
Well, because the kids think they can speak their mind. Like, they'll say, like, "Your fucking shoes suck." Like, I don't care what you think, child.
Those New Balances are stupid. Yeah. Stop wearing K-Swiss, Dad. Yeah. Okay, Caleb. I'll just, you do what you do and I'll do what I do.
Exactly. You wear your Air J's and I'll wear the K-Swiss, okay? And you don't have to make a comment.
I don't care what you think about the way that I dress. You're going to look back on yourself and you're going to think you look so stupid now. I still don't think that. Like, I thought I was cool as hell when I was in the JNCOs. Yeah. And I think I'm cool as hell now.
I was too. I was wearing the best styles of the time. Like, it may be different, but when everybody saw me, they were like, "Damn, are you a musician?"
Yeah, I never would judge people for their fashion choices as teenagers, because it's like, man, that's when you dress the flyest. And yes. You know what? At that time, that's fly. I remember when I was wearing JNCOs, everybody, all the adults would be like, huh, I remember when bell bottoms were in style.
These ain't those.
These don't get tight anywhere, baby. We don't want any. We don't want this denim touching our skin.
And where do you? You did they, what characters did y'all have embroidered on the back? Do you have any kangaroos? You have any fucking space cadets on there?
Yeah. What kind of creativity do you think that you have out there?
Flies JNCOs I had down the side. There was a stripe, and it had an equalizer in neon, like
fuck.
Yeah, up and down neon
green,
and, bright yeah, neon green. Yellow, neon oh, yellow. That yellowy green color.
Okay.
I had a pager with a clip on it that matched. I had a case that matched it, and I had that shit hanging out of the pocket.
My flyest time, the absolute flyest time in all of my fashion, was in the 10th grade. I had a flat top with long bangs that came down like right under my eyes, basically, but everything else was shaved. There's a fade up yeah. to the top and then the bangs, okay?
Right.
They came to right here. I had this like really stylish grunge flannel. You know what I mean? When Lazarus started selling the grunge stuff.
Sure, sure.
Macy's, when the big box stores started selling the grunge stuff, I had one of those. And then I had a pair of creamy white JNCOs with black threads.
Oh, yeah.
And like it just said, it had no characters on it, no nothing, just JNCO on the side of the leg and black. And I had a pair of like Skechers hiking boots. And that was the outfit I wore. And I was just like, man, this is the one that gets me girls, man.
Everybody loves this shit. When I show up in these crispy white JNCOs.
They were, yeah. And then a pen blew up in my pocket, of course.
Oh, no. I was like, no.
Super depressed about it.
Yeah, I never fucked with white pants like that.
I mean, they're a status symbol. It's they like are. White. Everybody's got to have a pair of white pants at some time.
Yeah,
my parents were like, "We're not buying those," and I'm like, "Then you'll have ruined Christmas." That's what I want.
I got some new pretty crazy pants that my wife hates.
Oh, good, good. That's nice.
I'll
That's
bust
always
them out
great.
for the DC trip.
Good, good. But this is what he wants. Dr. Sachs has found that respectful, obedient children still exist out there, largely because there are still a few parents who practice authoritative parenting.
Oh, yeah. That's what everybody loves. That's why everybody turned out so good, right?
That's why everybody loves their parents. That's why I love my parents. That's why I sit around and think about how much I love my parents all the time, and I don't, like, avoid them at all costs.
Yeah. Sure, sure. Yeah. That's what we really need. I think, you know, you want to create some sort of, turmoil in the child's life, because you want to fill them full of hardships and regrets and bad feelings, so that way they overcome them, right?
True.
You're going to throw the boulder on their back by being cold and neglectful and ugly and authoritative.
Well, it's a 3-point plan here.
Okay, I'm into it.
One, put the family before the child.
Okay.
And he says, prioritize the family. The family meal at home is more important than piling on after school extracurricular activities. And this is key to this, Brett, this last sentence. Instead of boosting self-esteem, teach humility.
Okay. Just a big heap and helping of it?
You ain't so fucking great. I mean,
yeah. You're doing not too very good on your schoolwork.
Yeah. Schoolwork's not going great. I read your essay and it was less than great.
It was contrived. It was a little contrived.
Don't use dictionary definitions at the please.
Yes, don't open a paper with a dictionary definition.
You're in the sixth grade.
Yes. Okay. Piss poor writing.
Let's not be cliche about things.
That's too confident, okay? You don't know shit still. Remember that? I held you when you was a little bitty ass baby. Okay? So I know how dumb you were, and I'm going to treat you like you're that dumb forever. Because I'm the authority.
Yeah. That's what he wants. That's what he wants. Be, hey, you know, instead of all of this, like, cheering on your child, have you thought about humiliating them?
Right.
Who cares?
You know? You talk about everybody's flaws and really go for the throat so that you create a good competitive nature. It's like sharpening a stone.
That's the world. This is the world. That, yeah. Like, I love seeing somebody actually say it because it's ugly.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is just, it's living on daggers. It's like, I don't want to sign up for that.
Yeah.
Number I don't want to sign up for this.
Yeah. Number two, remove distractions. And I think you probably know where this one's going.
Oh, yeah. Those multimedia devices filled with their Phineas and Ferb that don't want to listen to mom or dad anymore. They think that they know everything because they've got magic powers.
Yeah. No screens when you are with your child. Put your cell phone away.
No bullshit. No way. Sorry.
None of these parents, by the way, are doing any of these people that have kids that read this wouldn't put their cell phone away.
Nobody is putting their cell phone away.
I'm not dancing around. I'm not living my life because I got a kid.
Right.
You know what I mean? I want the goddamn cell phone. I love it. And I'm not going to put it away. And if they want the cell phone, then they can have it, you know?
Yeah, go do your shit, kid, and I can do the cell phone right here. I mean, I'm not allowed to fucking leave the house, and you treat me like a second pair of hands. So if exactly. I have 6 minutes, I'm going to try to read the first three paragraphs of this fucking article.
Yes, exactly. That's true.
And yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, I also, we do stuff and we put the phones away. It's, but that doesn't automatically create quality interaction.
It's not
kids.
A hard and fast. Well, yeah, I know.
If you're still just going to go into this, like, no, you mustn't question me when I say that's the rules of Scrabble, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you ever proved an adult wrong? That's an authoritative one? That's what broke me. This is what these fuckers did, is that whenever I've proved wrong one of these people and they wouldn't admit it and they say, well, I'm the adult here. And I'm like, oh, God. But that don't change what's right, you know?
Yeah. I yes. I mean, that's probably
teachers.
What turned me into a bad kid. Yeah, because I said so. It's like, well, okay, that's not a good enough reason for
yeah,
me.
I don't
I'm
like
sorry.
That. You're not paying attention to the facts here.
Yeah, well, yeah, and it's like, I'm sorry. Like, I don't like what you're talking about, and it does not matter to me at all that you said so. Like, that's not anything that is in my mind.
Yeah, I don't. That's your world that you have to respect it. I don't.
Yeah,
that's so, my personal country right here.
I'm a sovereign childrenson. So the last thing here we got
sovereign childrenson.
I'm a sovereign citizen as a child. I'm an emancipated child and a sovereign citizen. Emancipate those children, please stop disrespecting them. Number three is a really healthy thing to say to somebody you love. Draw a line in the sand and don't look back.
Yeah, I mean, this is the Amiri King guide to parenting. No friends. You know what? You were born in. You were brought into this world alone. You're going to die alone. So don't get attached to these kids.
Yeah.
You need to be able to turn your back on them at any moment. At a moment's notice, cut ties.
Draw a line in the sand.
Yeah,
you
with
don't
your fucking child? Of over what?
You don't want to do that with anybody that you love, right? I don't want to draw any lines in the sand for people that I love.
He doesn't know what unconditional love is.
No, shan't have it.
Kids don't get unconditional love. That's for damn sure.
If you're going to make a change, don't be subtle. New Year's Day is as good a time as any to sit down with your child and explain that there are going to be some changes in this household. Changes in how we talk and how we behave and how we treat one another. Oh, that would be the worst feeling if you were a disrespectful kid and then you had to deal with this. It's like when a step-parent comes
in
and
gets all fired up.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Step-parents actually, I don't know. If they're overbearing enough, they will take over. But I like to have, because a lot of the parents that end up getting yelled at, they're so beaten down. But they read one of these articles and they get real fired up. There's going to be some... Hold on. There's going to be some changes around here.
Yeah.
It's like, no, there ain't.
Well, the last
no, there ain't. You ain't going to do shit.
I know.
It goes back to normal.
Sorry. I don't know. Americans have tried the kinder, gentler, let me be your friend approach to parenting for the last several decades.
Have they? I don't. I mean, I haven't seen that. I mean,
that's been how I do things. And that's how, I mean, not necessarily I'm your friend, but this is a mutually respectful relationship.
I don't want you to disappear for 10 years like almost everybody else that had an authoritative parent did.
Yes.
Like, you just take a break for a decade when you're like, I don't want to fucking know them. I don't want to be around them. I don't want to hear their opinions on anything, you know.
And here's what
Sorry, go ahead.
Here's what that has wrought, Brett.
Oh, okay. Yes, yes.
If the behavior problems in schools and the heightened level of sensitivity on colleges' campuses are any indication, this parenting approach hasn't produced the positive outcomes we were hoping for.
These kids are thinking for themselves. They go to work. They think they should get paid more money. They value themselves. They also respect other cultures, which is something we have never been brought up believing. I don't know where this came out of nowhere. We always were pretty decidedly, you be American or else.
Yeah.
And now we're respecting Puerto Rican people. We're respecting island people. You know, it's a problem. We indigenous people have, our people are fighting for the rights of indigenous people, and that's not American.
That is, you are spot on with that, too. It's everything that they hate are not. And first of all, this safe space thing.
I know.
It's not real. Like, it's not a real thing that happens.
It's not steamroll. I mean, they're. I understand.
Who cares if people want to go to a safe space? That's what I'm saying.
That's what I mean. Yeah, people are going to them, but they're not steamrolling the rest of us.
Yeah, they want to create a space where they can go and be. They're nobody's trying to make all of society that. They're specifically saying, I want to go to this place where I don't have to worry about every fucking thing that I say, or I don't have to worry about, you know, people looking at me in a certain way.
I don't want to have a white guy explain to me how it is. I mean, that's exactly what the majority of safe spaces are, is just that people are like, I don't want to fucking deal with a white guy trying to tell me what to do or how it is.
You're exactly.
I just need a break.
And we're mad because he won't let me in.
You're like, hey, let me tell you something. When I think about this, I'm trying to get away about what you think. No. You don't get no safe space. Not while I'm here. I decide the spaces. That's what I've been trying to tell you. You don't ever listen to me.
It's this culture of disrespect that you've been reared in.
Culture of disrespect. You've been steeped in it.
Why do we live in a world where a doctor gets to write in a Wall Street Journal? Like, that's the story he gets to tell. Let me explain something to you, young folks. And then there's a blog that also covers that. Like, there's nothing important about that guy. Like, that doctor guy is stupid.
Well, it's just a guy with a bad opinion. It's just a jackass that studied the human body and can fix it. But also has a really weird way of looking at the world. Like a really...
Ben Carson. He's like Ben Carson.
There you go. And some of the healers are going to be kooks.
But yes. I mean, that is a position that leads you down a kooky path.
Right. I mean, you get filled with... Because then also you do get filled up with your own ego. Like, you're smelling your own shit. Right?
Yeah.
You're into it because you're like, I'm saving people and I'm fixing and I know how to do this and I can study and I can achieve. And I got to tell you something. These disrespectful children out here, they're just causing chaos.
Yeah.
But not. I mean, it's wonderful. I mean, we spent 2016 talking about how shitty most of America is, but it has moved so far beyond what it's been, and like that stuff is all great.
Yeah,
if you're good stuff. How are you intellectual tank out, but you can't handle hearing what a black person has to say or a Latino transgender person has to say? How could you possibly consider yourself intellectual?
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's just that's the intellectual takeout for you, buddy.
The most intellectual will fall in line with what everyone has believed for centuries before. clearly the founding fathers knew how people should live in this day and age, and that's why we follow their doctrine. We will find the light.
Yeah, yeah, that really is. That's the key to the whole thing. Is like everything that it was all good earlier. It was
definitely,
it used
to be great around here.
I mean, we and you just did Bad Kids throughout three decades. You know what I mean? The 70s, the 80s, and 90s, and 2000s. There were bad kids all those times. There's always been bad, disrespectful kids. You're talking, you're listening to a podcast of two people who were that, and nothing could have changed it. You know? Ooh. And I'm sure a lot of the people that listen to this podcast are also were bad kids that what I don't know what level of thing could have been done to change them into good kids, you know? And it's not a failure of society that I'm bad. That's not, I don't blame society for it. I hate things. I'm not cut out to like authority. I hate it, and I'm always going to push against it.
Yeah, I think to marry it to inclusiveness is just really dumb. And like the self-realization of kids is something that is way beyond what it used to be. Just talking down to them is so dumb because we all knew what it was, what it felt like. These fuckers like savored it when they were getting screamed at by some school marm, you know, no hair below the ears, you know, like they fucking thought that was great. I mean, they were groveling in it. They're little fucking babies that like to grovel and poop and pee.
Yeah. You're absolutely right, man.
I mean, I don't know. I just don't know why. I mean, seriously, as a kid, adults were treating you like shit and you didn't like it. And now some adults have decided to just kind of be okay with kids. And that's a fucking cause for hysteria for these gray haired types.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I love that they're freaking out, though. I know. Love that they feel uncomfortable.
It's insane what these kids will do. They'll be completely free. I believe in freedom and liberty, but as long as it's the type that I like.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm conservative.
All right, man. We did it. We're done.
That's
Let's
the
go
show.
Hang out with our wives.
I know. We had him up there. We could have brought him down, special guest, but we didn't. We'll be back next week, as always. We do it two times a week. We're shooting for three times a week if we get that Patreon number where we want it to be. Now, the Patreon is the place where you can get the exclusive Street Fight Radio zine that is starting in February. So right now, you go to patreon.com, patreon.com/Street Fight Radio. You can sign up. For $10 a month, you'll get a copy of the zine. You'll get a copy of the live video that we do for the month. And that's starting now. If we get to our goal of $2,500 a month, we'll start doing three shows a month. And that's going to be guest shows mostly, wrestling shows, a lot of fun stuff. It'll be a free space for us to add more to the show. It'll be something totally different. But you can help do that by just donating on the Patreon website. $10 a month, I mean, it's not much, and everybody's used to having these bills now. Everybody signed up for a per month bill, and so we've started our own. You'll get a live video from us and a copy of the zine. Or if you want some Kratom, we have that as well with our Loot Kratom service. $10 a month, 25 grams of Kratom, and the live videos. We'll have it. There's a combo package there too, but consider supporting Street Fight Radio. We are coalescing into something that I hope will be able to make a real change. And I hope that the whole scene that's going on here with the Dirtbag Left and a lot of the people that are in orbit, that this is going to be what we see on TV and what mainstream media have to eventually rectify and answer to. And so all the money that you send towards us will be going to that, plus any homeless people that ask me for money. I always give them like 10 or 20 bucks and take it out of the Street Fight account. But also there, you know, it really is at this point, Brian and I aren't getting paid yet. We took $200 this month, so that's what we're doing. That's where we're at. And the closer we get to making this like a full-time gig, the more y'all are going to be blown away. We want to do acid and and hang out one day is what we're contemplating at this point. But who knows? It really relies on your support. You can also, if you're one of those people that likes to get stuff in the mail, you can go to store.streetfightradio.com. We got anti-Donald Trump shirts, President Donald J. Trump, Revolt t-shirts for sale this month.
POTUS.
Yeah.
Soon to be POTUS.
POTUS Trump.
POTUS, just like Barack Obama and George Washington and Abraham Lincoln.
He's on the same level.
Like, Thomas Jefferson.
Is a Trump.
Yeah. Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Of the same caliber. Same caliber of man.
Yeah, he's there.
As FDR and Trump.
He's climbed all the way to the top. Richard Nixon, Donald Trump, Ronald Reagan.
Jimmy Carter.
Bill Clinton.
Yeah, he's
Bill
a Trump.
Clinton, yeah.
They're the same. They're cut from the same cloth. They're presidential material.
Yeah. President Donald J. Trump.
And we have those shirts on sale. $25 gets one to you. That's shipped. If you want it and you're outside of the United States of America, you can do that as well. We offer international shipping. They're just $25. They're made in the USA. The cotton is grown here in Virginia and put all together in the United States. So we try to be as thorough as we can on that stuff. Thank you for listening, as always. I'm Brett. He's Brian. Peace.
Sitting on the couch like I need to take a nap. Cooking them snacks, yum yum, them my thumb.